Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, well, Lord, thank you, Lord. Be with this word. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Part three of building a kingdom marriage. First week, we built a husband. Last week, I ain't never been so glad for a message to be over as last week's. But last week, we made it through building a kingdom wife, and I didn't get shot. Thank you, Jesus. And you came back, so thank you. Before we go into this part today, let me just say that no matter where you're at on the spectrum of this, again, we've all had mistakes in our past, all of us, amen, done to us and through us and by us. And so we're not here to go back and say mistakes, 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 oh, 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 me, oh, woe is me, but we're here to go forward. Amen? And so this week, I love you. I love you, and I love your kids too much not to preach what I'm going to preach to you today. So turn to your neighbor and say, he loves us, and he loves our kids. This week, we're going to have kingdom marriages that produce and parent kingdom kids. I love y'all. The question often becomes, how do we raise kingdom kids? And you cannot raise kingdom kids without a kingdom husband, father, kingdom wife, mother. Can't be done. Amen? So you have to have kingdom parenting, and that's what we're going to learn about today. We're going to talk to the kids, then I'm going to talk to the parents from the Word of God. Say amen. Now again, the theme scripture for this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added to you. Amen? Amen. So to seek a kingdom marriage, you got to seek God's kingdom first. To become a kingdom man, husband, you got to seek the kingdom of God first. To become a kingdom woman, wife, you have to seek the kingdom of God first. If you want to raise up children, you better seek the kingdom of God first. Amen. Amen. And so today, based on that, go ahead and put the first note up. Future generations will depend upon how effective we train our children today. Amen? You're training up the next generation of what will be. We right now are experiencing the training up of the last people, the parenting from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s. We're experiencing that now. Don't everybody get happy. Now, let me ask you that. Now, when we think about generations, we always think out there. You are a generation gathered in here from the teenagers to the 70 and 80 years old. You were trained up by somebody and equipped to have the atmosphere and the culture that we're walking in now. Now, let me ask you this. Over the years, in the course of history, how many think the training has gotten better or worse? I think everybody in here is in. Just raise your hand if you think it's getting better. Okay, we're all in agreement. It's gotten worse. And we have to ask ourselves, why is it getting worse and what can we do about it? And that's why this message is being preached today. But I often hear things like this, and it amazes me. Oh my gosh, they didn't come with a manual on how to raise them. Come on, how many of you have ever heard that? Some of you have probably said that. Now, I have a problem with that because they absolutely did 100% come with a manual on how to handle them. It's called the Word of God. This is not going to tell you how to be a kingdom man or a kingdom husband, a kingdom woman or a kingdom wife, have a kingdom marriage, and not tell you how to raise kingdom kids. So they absolutely, every single one of them, come with the same owner's manual. Amen? Tells you how to handle it. And when we don't go by the owner's manual, we get what we get. And that's why it's getting worse, because we have gotten away from biblical kingdom marriage. We've gotten away from biblical kingdom parenting. Don't be quiet in here today, I think. But anyway, I'm going to have a good time. I may have to move a little more up here too. So let's just jump right into this. Go ahead and put the first note up. What does the Bible, and I want you to make sure you know in your note, the Bible's the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. Not just a God, the one and only God. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is the rule and reign in what you will be judged by on Judgment Day. So, okay, so it's the Word of God. What does it say to the children? Now, when we talk about to the children, you always think about somebody else's children, but this is to your children. Everybody say, my child? My sweet little precious innocent, never done nothing wrong, never lies or never does anything? Yes, your children. My children, your children. Now, let's establish something right out of the gate. Psalms 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage. Another word for that's legacy from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. So children are a reward. They're great. Amen. They are of God, sent to be a legacy establishing heritage in the earth. From the mother's womb, it's a reward. Say amen. Now, if you're a children, wave at me up here. Everybody ought to wave because we all got a mother and dad. Now, let's go to the Ten Commandments. Listed so heavy that this one right there in it, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. I'm talking to the kids in here today. Honor. Everybody say honor.
Honor.
Honor your father and your mother. And here's this one's got a promise with it. I love this part about it. When you honor your father and mother, kids, the Bible says, word of God, that your days, the child's day, your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. What part of that do you want to wreck by your smart mouth? What part of that do you want to wreck and wreak on yourself by disobedience and no submission to your parents? I knew the kids would love this message as much as the parents are going to love it here in a little bit. Now, lest you think that's in there by mistake, if you look at the book of Ephesians, when Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus here, he talks to the children. Apparently, they were being bad, so he needed to reiterate to that generation the commandment of the Lord. Again, children, say it with me, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's right. It is right. Next verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Then it goes on and it says this right here, that it may be well with you and you may live long, everybody say on the earth.
On the earth.
On the earth. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Now, before we go any further, I got more, don't worry. I do want to make another disclaimer here. We are living in a time where some kids don't have good parents. How can I honor something that's no good? It's not there for me, that is living in rebellion. There is still a certain amount of honor. You have to honor them no matter where they're at. But you never obey something that goes again, dishonors God. You go find an adult. You go find a police officer. You come find a church. You find a pastor. You find an elder and say, hey, my mom and dad want me to do this, but I know it goes against God's will. Sad that I have to say that in this message. Okay? But just because you may have something when you couldn't honor, you still have a heavenly Father who is the perfect Father that you will always show honor and glory if you want to live long on the earth. Amen? So I had to stop the message just to make sure you understand that. And then Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. My child, children, everybody say, listen. That means you've got two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. Especially to your parents. Can I have a better amen, parents?
Amen.
My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. Now watch this, children. what you learn from them, talking about your parents, will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. What kid doesn't want that? But to get it, you got to honor and obey and listen when they correct you. Now again, this is coming at kingdom parents who love their children. All of this is about kingdom men and women, kingdom marriages, who want to raise up kingdom kids that love them. You should listen to them. They love you. Amen. Now, there's more, but we got to go. I got a lot of scriptures to cover today. So now let's put up the next note. What does the Bible, the Word of God, say to the parents of children? Are y'all ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Now, we have parents panicking all the time in this generation now over their children. Oh my gosh, we just don't know what to do. We can't handle him or her. Just a little terrorist in our house. Come on, we hear that a lot. You see it a lot. Parents just ready to throw up their hands. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. Know your Bible. They're not designed to be terrorists. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, first word. What's the first word, church?
Discipline.
The first word is discipline. The word discipline also means to bring correction and punishment. Yeah. This is not going to be a politically correct message from here on out. We are not living in a time where discipline, the lack of it, makes a better person. It's not possible to make a better person without discipline. Now, we all may have our idea of what discipline is, but the Bible has the ultimate idea. And I think you'll be better off if you go by the Bible. So let's finish this up. Discipline your children. Your children. Precious, little junior, little sissy. Yes, whoop that tail. Now watch this. And they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. The reason we have panicking parents is because we don't have parents that discipline, correct, and punish their kids for their bad behavior. They just appease them. And now you're fretting, wondering how their future's going to be, wondering how you're going to handle them. They're running your house. If you want peace, whoop that tail. I know you ain't used to this. Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
Lest you think it's not, let's move right along. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. To discipline a child produces what? There you go, wisdom. But a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Now, I didn't hear any young mother say amen. I heard mothers that have age on them say amen. The problem is we got mothers that's not disgraced by ungodly behavior. Come on. And I'm going to cover this in a little bit. You even think, oh, isn't that cute? But for those who are kingdom moms, it's a disgrace when you have an unruly child that doesn't know how to behave. Bible preaching, amen.
Amen.
Proverbs, I'm about to read this one to you twice out of a different translation. Because here's the one. It's in the Bible. That's the Word of God. I love you and I love your kids. Enough to tell you this verse exists in the Word of God. Proverbs 13, 24. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Oh me. Let me read that again to you. Those who spare the rod... Now, the rod there is talking about a staff or a shepherd's rod. Okay? It's not talking about a piece of iron, and it's not talking about bashing them upside the head or nothing. We'll talk about that in a minute. Those who spare the rod of discipline, look what it says. And the Bible's not mincing words here. It says, you hate your child. You won't... You hate your children. Those who love their children, you care enough to discipline them. You'll take the time to discipline them. You'll discipline them according to the Word of God. You'll dish out the correction and the punishment because you love them. The Passion Translation, same verses, Proverbs 13, 24, and the Passion says this. If you withhold correction and punishment, which is the definition of discipline, from your children, you demonstrate a lack of true love. Now watch this. So prove your love and be prompt to punish them. Prompt means rapid, immediately, right there on the spot. Now, I'm not saying you got to do it to embarrass them, but I can remember marching one of my kids at Walmart one time about this. It was my oldest one. And seeing a kid pitching a fit, laying down in the floor, screaming and yelling to get their mom because their mom told them no. And she reached up here and asked me for a little pink pony or something, and I said no. And she looked at that kid and she went, and I could tell where she was wanting to go. I just reached down. I said, listen, baby, if you think you're going to act like that and get away with it here in public in front of everybody, I will whip your tail in front of God and everybody standing right here. So make up your mind. What do you want to do? We can go now, Dad. Okay. I let her choose. Thank God she chose right. But why did she choose? Because she knew I would back that up right there on the spot. If you ignorant enough to act up in front of people, you blessed enough to get your tail tore up in front of them. Now, there's times you may want to take them to the bathroom and something. Okay, I'm not saying all that. You don't want to wreck their complete confidence out in public. But sometimes if they're going to do it in public, let it be a public execution. Not execution. Execution of the discipline. Well, I mean, you know. But don't threaten them time after time and not follow through. That makes you a liar. Well, oh, I love y'all. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Discipline your child while there is still hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Did y'all know this is in the Bible? I'm serious. Do you realize this is the Word of God? That it's on the parents not to ruin the children's life. You won't ruin their life when you whip them. You'll ruin their life if you don't discipline them. Bible, Word of God. And by the way, it says you're going to ruin it, not everybody else. Oh, well, you know, if it wasn't for them, my child would have turned out better. No, they're under your authority. Y'all okay? One more. And this is not all of them. I just ain't got time to list them all. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 and 14. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him, if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Leave that up there a minute. Little Precious ain't gonna die if you bring the board of correction to them. This has resided on the top of my refrigerator for 30 years. It has been drawn on, and in the top corner here was the first writing. It is known as the Cootie Booty Board. That's the name of it, Cootie Booty Board. We're the Coots family, it's the Cootie Booty Board. After whippings, my daughter would get on there and write, Jesus loves me, and one of them drawed a picture of me whipping one of them right here with a paddle. They put their names, they draw the cross of Jesus, and things like that to try to get it. But all it did was, I know what they were thinking, if dad, mom see this, they'll think Jesus is graceful. I see this, and what the scripture says, beat them. It reminded me to make sure I whip them. Amen? Now, some of you may be looking at me and going, oh, what a horrible parent. That's not blood. Well, maybe a little right there, but you know. I had four kids. All four of my kids experienced this, and they're still alive. And they're not in jail. Now, I ain't saying they may not end there one day, but right now they're good. My mom and dad didn't know about me for years either. Amen? Not they all got it early, what we call early and often. And none of them died. None of them had to go to a counselor because of this. This was the counselor. Some of the best counsel they ever got. Ooh, that felt good. Now we're going to read the next verse. You shall beat them with a rod. Now watch this. And deliver their soul from hell. Amen. Look at that. That's in the Bible about how to raise kids. You shall beat them with a rod. You shall bring the rod of correction. And you're going to deliver them from hell. How many people are burning in hell because mom and dad would not bring biblical correction to the child? They didn't go to hell because God didn't love them. They didn't go to hell because God didn't want them to. They went to hell because mom and dad never showed them the love of discipline, correction, and punishment for their actions. They appeased them and promoted the bad behavior. And when you appease bad behavior, listen, parents, you promote the bad behavior. When you laugh at it and think it's funny and it's not in God's eyes, you are promoting that behavior for that child. There are reasons women become prostitutes. It's not the plan of God. Wow. Now, let me stop here and say, because some of y'all got excited about beating your children. When it says beat, it means bring correction, discipline, and punishment. There is punishment and correction and discipline that needs to be on every child that grows up. Because no child grows up without knowing how to need that in their life. Okay? No child, even your child, my child, okay? Every child needs discipline because it needs love. Now, God, in designing us, designed us fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, but He gave us one particular place that He put a little extra padding. And that's where the punishment is to take place. You don't hit a kid in the face. You don't punch a kid in the stomach. You don't slap them across the room. God gave them a place with cushion to where something in your hand could be used to bring love. Amen? There's no excuse for anywhere else. That's God's design. Amen? So if you're one of them that likes to go to the face, let somebody come meet me, we'll see what you do. I ain't the baddest. If I can't handle you, I'll get Shane to handle you. But we don't put up with people hitting people in the face. It's not designed for that. You can wear that little rear end out all you want to. That's what it was designed for. Amen? Y'all okay down there? Luke chapter 2. Verse 41 through 52. I'm going to read through this, then we're going to go back over some things. But go ahead and put up the next note to make sure you understand where we're going. We're going to go to Jesus' parent, Joseph and Mary. Amen? How many of you know, put that note down. Okay. How many of you know that they were his parents? Now, we know he was from God, but God put him through the mother's womb. Joseph had to be a great man of God to step into that. Especially in those times, and take on that role. And they had the responsibility of equipping Jesus to become what God sent him to be. Wow. And let me just tell you something. Your children are no different from Jesus. God has entrusted you to bring them children up into what he's called them to be and equip them and train them and help them. Still the awesome responsibility. But let's look to the original parents of the Son of God, who were not perfect, but they had him ready. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents, talking about Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem, everybody say every year.
Every year.
They went every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he, talking about Jesus, was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Imagine a kid wandering off, huh? And Joseph and his mother Mary did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company when they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. Verse 45, so when they did not find him, talking about Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem seeking Jesus. Now, so it was that after 3 days, everybody say 3 days. Now, I don't have time to go completely into that, but that's an awesome paradox there, okay? After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and engaging, asking them questions. And all who heard Jesus in the temple where he was teaching at were astonished at Jesus' understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, talking about his parents there, saw Jesus, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. That, you know, they are not parenting in 2025. By that statement right there. 2025. Boy! Oh, no, you didn't. Tell me you didn't stay behind. What's wrong with you, boy? Me and your daddy been hunting you all this time. Where you been? Get yourself over here. They parented right. They did confront him. Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And Jesus replied and said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my capital father's business? Capital father, F there. Which he's talking about his father's business. Amen? Amen? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject, everybody say subject to them. And he, Jesus, was subject to his mom and dad, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Now go back to verse 51 up there if you can and put that up. He was subject to them. Now leave that up there, and I'm going to go back to verse 41. Don't put that back up. Just leave that one up there because we're going to end up there right quick. Now, if you go back to verse 41, this is the parents of Jesus. It said, every year they went to the feast, and they took Jesus every year, as was their custom. First parenting tip, be consistent. Be there and be consistent. We've got so many kids growing up in such dysfunctional, inconsistent families atmosphere, they don't know what to believe. They don't know who they can really trust because one minute they're told this, and then they get away with this, and then the next minute they're threatened with this, but they see another one getting away with it. Be consistent. Whoop that tail consistently. Early and often, and you don't have to do it later on as much. Amen? So moving right along, I know we still got a lot of ground to cover. Now, if you drop down to verse 42, it says, and Jesus was 12 years old, and he entered the temple. Because in the Jewish customs, when you become 12 years old, you went from boyhood to manhood at 12. Helicopter parents, are you listening? They went to where they could now enter the temple as a young man, not just a boy anymore. They were beginning at that age to be turned loose. They always worked some kind of work from day one. But now they are expected to be like an apprentice in a trade that's going to make them the rest of their life. So Jesus had the authority now to stay in the temple and talk with the priests and the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the Bible says they were astonished at his teaching as a young man there, what we would consider a boy. So stop treating them like a child, stop helicoptering them, and turn them into a man around the 12, 13, 14 age. At least 12. Start. Young man, young woman. It worked pretty good for them. Jesus told them, he says, I must be about my father's business. In other words, I'm ready to step into the family business. I'm 12 now. You've raised me for this. And because they had been kingdom parents, they knew that his time was coming and didn't want to hold him back at 12. It's quiet in here now. Amen? Now, them being astonished at how Jesus knew the scriptures, and everybody goes, oh, he was the Son of God. He was still a 12-year-old. Reason they were astonished is because of the example and what was poured into that child from Joseph and Mary. Getting up with him, getting in the scriptures every day, prophesying to him, telling him the prophecies over his life, and you're going to be this, and you're the Son of God, and you're Messiah, and you got to be equipped to handle it. Here's what the Word of God says. So he was already trained in the scriptures from mom and dad. Somebody say, imagine that. Wow, what a difference it makes. And then it goes down. They went. She corrected him. Now, he 12-year-old Jesus, Son of God. But mom and dad popped on the scene and said, son, come on. And he put himself subject to his parents. Last week, we told you women there's three main things that the Bible talks about. You be subject, be obedient. Huh? I forget. And what was the other one? Oh, y'all listened good too. And they all had the same meaning, hupopotasso, which means to come into proper order. That's what submission means, hupopotasso. Come into the proper order. Get in proper order. And when this word here says Jesus was subject to his parents, guess what word it is? Hupopotasso. Jesus come back into proper order because mom and dad still had authority over him. And even the Son of God knows to operate in proper biblical authority. So children, it would do you wise to hupopotasso with your parents. Good, preaching amen. Now again, they astonished, which was a reflection of mom and dad's teachings. Now, go ahead and put up the next note. Because of his raising, Jesus grew, and the Bible says, four areas in this scripture. Now again, yes, he was the Son of God, but he didn't just grow because he was the Son of God. He grew because what was injected to him by mom and dad, by Joseph and Mary. And look at these next four areas, I hope and pray we want all of our children to grow in. Now you're sitting here today, and you may say, well, my children are grown. Yes, and you may just be hearing this, yes, but it's never too late to stop, keep speaking it into their lives. You don't have authority to make them do it anymore, but you can still speak love into them. You can't go whip them no more, no matter how much you still want to. It's not your role anymore. They have to stand for themselves, but you can speak the word of wisdom into them, amen? So what are the four areas? Number one, go ahead and put it up. The Bible says he grew in wisdom. Wisdom, let me just say it like this. A child will either get wisdom from the word or the world. Everybody's child, my children, your children, they will get wisdom of the word of God or they'll get the wisdom of the world, which will lead them to hell. Now, let me tell you something about this. Parents, you get to decide. You get to decide what wisdom gets in your child, especially when they're little and growing up. When they get older, you don't have the authority anymore. That's why early and often, it is work, absolutely. Got to stay on them boogers. I whipped one of my kids 13 times in a row within about 30 minutes. 13 times, and it would have went longer, but she cried herself to sleep. And it still didn't break her that day. Yeah, it was Trinity. It was Trinity. Yeah, 13 times. In a row. Yeah, look where she's at now, but thank God for her, but it took that to get her there. And I did that because I did love her. And I don't want to send her to hell. And I don't want to send her to jail. And I don't want her to end up in these places that so many people end up. Now, I'm not saying my child's better than anybody's. Any one of my children can go, they can still go off and do their own thing. They're out from under my care, which I don't like at all. And I don't know if I did the best job in the world, but I know I tried to do as much as I could. But I wished I had them back because I know more now. Amen. I'd have whipped them some more. I mean, we all have that woulda, shoulda, couldas, okay? But you got to start where you're at. And I know this may seem like a message to the younger parents, but listen, the younger you start them, I'm telling you, whip them early, whip them often. Get them in the Word early. Let them see stability. Let them see consistency in your home. Because when they hit about 12, 13, 14 years old, you are the stupidest person in their life, and you only exist to wreck their fun. Come on. Hear ye, hear ye. I got to move quickly. But they're going to get wisdom from somebody. Let them get it from my mom and dad in the Word of God. Next thing it said he grew in stature. Now, stature means your physical physique, and it means how big you grow. There's limitations there. Now, you can't add this way, but I've added this way. And you can affect this way if you want to with them and raise them up on a good diet, maybe, but whatever. But what we're talking about here, stature, is also he grew in his importance. He grew in his prominence in the community. And Jesus began to grow in his status with people, all because of what his parents began to put into him. He had status with people because he could stand toe-to-toe with people who had studied the Scriptures for years because he had already had 11, 12 years in the Scriptures himself. Amen? Let me just say this about stature. It's not going to be in your notes, but I think it's pretty good. Stature is determined by discipline and self-control. If you want stature in your life and have a status and importance and prominence, it is through discipline and self-control. And if that's not taught from mom and dad, a child will not grasp it 90% of the time. Number three, the Bible says he grew in favor with God. This is God's son growing in favor with God. Why? Because mom and dad taught him that. And favor with God means Jesus had a personal relationship in knowing who God is. How? Mom and dad showed him, taught him, and showed him. They were being it, and they taught him how to be. Amen? Again, this was modeled through the relationship that Joseph and Mary had with God the Father. And so he grew with that favor because mom and dad were in that favor. And then the last thing it says here, he grew in favor with man. Now, I'm not talking about he became a man pleaser. If you do that, you're totally lost. It's not about pleasing mankind. But what we're talking about here, Jesus had manners. Jesus had manners as a child. Is this on? Jesus was well behaved. Jesus had a good conduct. Jesus was kind. Jesus had compassion. Jesus was generous. He was serving. He was encouraging. He was respectful and he was faithful. All traits he learned from Joseph and Mary, his parents. Hallelujah. And when you have that, you begin to grow in favor with man. You don't grow in favor with gangbangers. You don't grow in favor at the clubs. You don't grow in favor at the parties and stuff, but you grow in favor with godly kingdom people. And who do you want your kid to have favor with, the world or the kingdom? Amen? Now, all of these traits, that's just four of them. Wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor of man. Every one of these are supposed to be put into our kids by their parents. 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 Now, let me tell you something here. Not the school. It's not up to the school teacher to raise a kingdom kid. Come on. It's not up to your babysitter. It's not up to the children's church of any church. What's it supposed to do? It's supposed to reinforce what they're learning at home. We have them 40-something, 45 minutes to an hour. You have them all day long. Well, no, you don't. But anyway, school's got them most of the time. It's not the church's responsibility. my responsibility to raise your kid up and be a kingdom. Again, these messages are to be preached. You take them home and you break them down and you impart them to your kid. And then they come back and it re-undergirds what you're teaching at home. You're the first pastor. Every parent is a pastor when you have a kid, because it's your job to pastor that kid and raise them up.
Good preaching, amen.
Yeah, brother. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your responsibility. Now, if you want to gauge something, if you could hook these people up to a lie detector where they wouldn't try to protect your feelings, go ask their teacher. Go ask their Sunday school teacher. Go ask their children's church workers. Come on. Go ask the church staff where you go to church at. If they get older, go ask their boss or the place of employment they work at. Now, we like to appease people. Oh, they're just precious. Precious terrorists. Every single person alive that gets around a child either will love to see that child coming toward them or dread it. There's no in between. Now, you still put on the fake smile. Oh, hey, come, welcome to class. Can my teachers in here give me a little testimony? Teachers see some students come in and be like, oh, God. Can they please, Lord, they lay them down. Lord, let these transfer schools, please. Let them go bless another class, Lord. Why? Because they haven't got no discipline. They can't discipline them. And the kids come in there and just wreck shop. And mom and dad think it's cute. Come on, go ask them. They'll tell you. If they tell you the truth. But see, here's the problem with parents. You don't want to hear the truth about your child. Because you only see precious. And everything is cute, and oh, isn't that sweet? No, I did just being a child. I just being a kid. The sad part about it is, if you don't do something later, Alan and his bunch will do something with him later. In case you don't know who Alan is, he's the chief deputy sheriff of Morgan County. They're going to have appointments some point in their life with somebody that's going to bring discipline. And some of you better hope it's the law enforcement, because if it's another gang member or somebody a little bit bigger and badder than them, it could end them up and down at Peck's in the morgue. I love y'all. If you have a child in here today, listen to me. The Word of God does not suggest, it doesn't say it would be a good idea. It commands you to discipline them and raise them. Nobody else. It commands you, the parent. Put up the next note. If you don't want to raise kids, do not have them, because they are work. See, so many young couples think, oh, it's cool, little baby, oh, it will be standing on, oh, cool. It cried all night. Man, how much can these things poop? I mean, my gosh. I got to get some rest. Mom, dad, auntie, uncle, cousin, friend, somebody come take this little demon away. It's not their baby, it's yours. Grandparenting is supposed to be grand. Wave at me, all you grandparents. Let me give you a saying that I've learned as a grandparent myself. Grandchildren are the rewards you get if you don't kill your kids during the teenage years. They won't die. You're commanded to raise them. How do I know? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Talking to the parent, first word is what? Train. Everybody say train. Train. Now, we're not talking choo-choo. We are talking train. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, here's a promise if you've got wayward children. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And old there has no age limits. I had a granddad get saved at 75 years old. His parents didn't get to see him get saved. A lot of people didn't get to see him get saved. But I got to see him get saved at 75 and baptized, and then I got to do his funeral at 77. Took him a while. But somebody must have put a seed there. Some point in time, he had a seed in him. I don't know his parents. I never met him. But somewhere, somebody dropped a seed in him. It took 75 years, but it came. So don't you ever give up. As long as they can fog a mirror, there's still hope. Amen? Call that promise in. Be faithful to continue to pray over him. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Everybody say train. The word train, go ahead and put it up, in the Hebrew is hanak. Hanak. A little phlegm knock. Okay? It's hanak. Don't you love those people that try to get up and impress you and try to talk like they're Jewish? And they're not. I find it hilarious. They'll change their tone. They'll change their slurs. And now that really is, if I was going to do it, it's hanak. It really is. I can't make this one, but I can get my computer in here and it'll do it for you. But for me to come out here and go, it is the word hock knock. Anybody impressed? Or let me say it, it's pronounced hanak. That's a little easier, isn't it? So think not of yourself more highly than you ought. That's a scripture, good scripture for you. Just say it like in English and the redneck like we are. It's hanak. Now watch what it means. It means it's meaning to train, to dedicate. That's why we have baby dedication. We should have baby, preschool, elementary, junior, high school, until they get out of your house dedication. It means to train, to dedicate, for training a child. Now watch this, related to the dedication of a house or a temple or a place of worship. So in other words, I love that last part. It's like dedicating your house to God. If this is going to be a house, as for me in this house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, and in this house, I've dedicated my children to serve the Lord. It's like if we come here and when this was new, we're dedicating. Lord, we dedicate this to your works and your glory, our church. You take your child and do them the same way. And that takes training. That takes discipline. That takes time. It takes work and it takes effort. Don't be so busy trying to make a living that you forget to make a family. I love you. Training means they will come into two things. They will come into that obedience and submission to you. Because listen, you've got to make that happen because that does not happen on its own. And if you think it did, your child has lied to you somewhere and they're hiding something from you. You never have to train a child how to be bad. You never have to train a child to talk back and be smart and lie to your face. You got to train them not to do those things. And it takes time and it takes effort and it takes a good swing. If you love them. Are y'all okay? Now here's why they need to come in, be trained in obedience and submission. Go ahead and put up the next note. Because obedient and submission to parents will lead them, should be to obedience and submission to God's will for their life, and it will take them into the full love of God. Because the Bible says God chastens those he loves. Chasten is another word for discipline, punishment, and correction. How are they ever going to fall in love with God if they're not disciplined and can do whatever they want to do? Because God is a God of order. Well, not in your notes, submission. No, check this out. Submission is a free will act of love. When you choose to be submissive to someone in authority, it's a free will act of love. When you choose to be disobedient, it's a free will of narcissism and you're not in love with them. Hear that, children. Now again, let me just kind of getting toward the end. Y'all hang on. Everybody say parents. You have to establish dominance in your home with a child. You have to establish who's in charge and who runs that family. You do not have a child for the child to dictate what this family does. Boy, do we see that nowadays. Have a child and everything revolves around the child. Oh, the child has to have a schedule. The child has to know to do this. The child has to know to do this. We can't go because of the child. Books will even tell you to do that. They won't die if they don't get a lollipop at 3 o'clock every day. They won't die. They'll be okay. But you got to establish who's in charge and who controls the home. Because when you don't establish that, you invite division, you invite chaos, you invite just trauma into your life, into your home, and into your marriage. I have seen children be the reason parents split. Because they weren't in proper order. They came before the wife, or they started coming before the husband. And nobody takes the place of your spouse first, except the Lord. God, spouse, children. Anything outside of that's out of order. That's hupopotasso. God, spouses, children. Proper order. Amen? And what you don't discipline today, law enforcement will discipline in their day. Now, I told you I was going to address this, and I am. It's not cute when a child is tearing up stuff in your house. It's not cute when a child's wrecking shop at somebody else's house. It's not cute when you just, there seems to be a syndrome that when you walk in a room with your child, it's not your own house, and you do it even in your house sometimes. We walk into a room, a church, a business, a store, and it's like, no longer my responsibility. Y'all just go. Tear up what you want to tear up. Run where you want to run. Stick your head under the changing rooms. I don't care. You're still in charge of your child wherever you go with them. You don't walk in somebody's place and turn them loose. You don't walk into church and turn them loose. You don't walk into Walmart and turn them loose. But so many people do, and they're over there yanking stuff off the racks and destroying. Oh, ain't that cute? No, it's not cute. It's disrespectful. It's no manners. There's no good conduct there. You mean I have to take them with me when I shop and keep them right with me? Yes, but they're a terror. Counter-terrorist unit right here. You lay this to them 2 or 3 times, and if you'll be consistent, within 2 or 3 trips, you won't have to worry about Precious. Because they will stay right there. They may not like it a whole bunch, but they will stay there if you keep this going. Well, I just don't want to do that. I just think, well, then don't be biblical and get what you get. Don't raise kingdom, raise terrorist. I love y'all. And there's no excuse for kids to go in anywhere and run wild. The only thing that is, let me tell you what that is, that's just poor parenting. Now, I'm not going to call names because it was years ago before I was even at this church, but we did our first church, and we had a couple that didn't even go to our church, but we were good friends with them. They would come up, when they come in the driveway, we'd be like, oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Bring their kids in and just let them go. They're running on our furniture. I'm sitting on that furniture with clothes that I don't want feet print on my furniture, please. We had a glass top table in front of our couch. They just run across the glass top. In the front of Mom and Dad, take their little Cheerios and throw them and just pull stuff up. And they just, ain't that cute? No! We hated to see them pull up in our yard. And it finally come to, we had to start saying, you know, hey, don't do that. Okay, don't do it. And they'd do it anyway. They're your kids. They're a gift from God for you to raise up in the glory. Like I said, if you don't want to do all this stuff, then don't have them. Just don't have none. It's okay. I'm not sure my second daughter, Kylie, will ever have kids. I would never put her in charge of children's ministry. It's not her gift, I promise you. It's okay if you don't. But it's not okay to have them and not raise them for the glory of God. Right. And in the discipline of the word and with what the Bible says today. Please get me out of here again. I love y'all. I really do. And I want you to come back. Now, I do have to tell you, I had really planned on ending this. Can y'all stand one more week? Because the Lord really impressed upon me, because I really don't want to do this one or the women or this one, because it's not popular and people don't like it. How dare you? Take it up with God. But as I was praying it, God, thank you that this is over. This Sunday, it's all over, and I'll go on to something good, Father. And he said, you told them how to build a husband. You told them how to build biblically a wife. You told them how to build biblically. But if you taught them how to fight for what they have now. So you come back next week. Teach how to fight for a kingdom marriage. Teach how to fight for a kingdom wife and fight for a kingdom husband. And I think it's going to be the most important message of the series. So pray for me as that develops this week. But I want to close with this. Unfortunately, and again, I have to say that word. Unfortunately, today, we have the unparented kids who just really don't have a parent in their life nowhere. They have no one that loves them enough, that cares enough. You know why children are acting out so bad? Because they desire to be whipped. Some of you parents are shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. They desire, please, I'll do something bad if you'll just pay me some attention, show me you love me. Even if you whip me, hey, you touched me, you got around me, you spent some time with me. But there's a whole generation of just totally unparented kids. MTV and all this garbage is out here raising your kids. Then we wonder why they're in the shape they're in. And then we have just the underparented child that has parents. But they don't spend no effort. They don't have no time. They're not in the Word. They'll send them to church, but they won't go. We have the underparented. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but we have the overparented child who can't do nothing without mom and dad's interference. The helicopter mom and dad. And then we have the last one. And again, we're not calling anybody out. Again, I told you that at the first. We are where we're at sometimes. The split war-parented kids, where mom and dad are using the child as a pawn in their divorce or their affair or wherever they're at in life, and they're using the kids to try to get back at each other. They're both trying to be their best friend and outdo each other. Well, I'm going to take them here. Well, if you take them there, I'm going to take them to Disney. If you take them to Disney, I'm going to go to California with them, take them to Universal and Disney. Always trying to one up to get the kid's favor and badmouth the other parent. For your mistakes, they got to pay. And that's the most atmosphere right now that our kids across America are growing up in. But I will tell you, I have seen people that come out of and into blended families that have repented and got it right, and they are raising up glorious kids in the kingdom. Hallelujah. They've repented, and now they're doing great. I've seen it all. It's all depending upon whether or not you'll surrender your heart to this as a mom and a dad. So what's God's design? Let me tell you God's design. Guys, listen up. God's design is for you to grow up and become a kingdom man. And don't get married before you're a kingdom man. And I want to speak this to the young people. Until you're happy being single, do not ever get married. Don't ever get married because you're unhappy as a single person. You'll be miserable married one day. And you'll make that person miserable. When you're happy and content with you and God, now you're ready to get married. So number one, let a man become a kingdom man. And once you become a kingdom man, wait to become a kingdom husband until he sends you a kingdom wife. So your next step, men, is become that kingdom husband. Know what the Bible says two or three weeks ago. And then when you get ready and it's God's timing and you've prayed about it, you become a kingdom father. Ladies, same thing. Let you as a girl become a kingdom woman. Don't get married until you get a kingdom man. Then you become a kingdom wife. And then praying with your kingdom husband, you decide, Lord, is it your will? And if he says, have children, then you begin to have children. If you can't have children, you look to adopt. It's a great ministry. It's a great kingdom. And you become a kingdom wife and a kingdom mother. That's a kingdom family. Everybody say, that's a kingdom family. Now, I'm going to tell you something that ain't popular right now about that. That is a kingdom family, a kingdom man, husband, and father, a kingdom woman, wife, and mother. Anything outside that is abnormal. Ooh, that ain't popular. Anything outside that's abnormal. Why? Because you cannot have one, you can't have two or more definitions of normal. So if the Bible calls normal a man and a woman who are kingdom men and women, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, raising kingdom's kid, that is a normal kingdom family, and anything outside that is abnormal. So if you're abnormal this morning, you know what you do to get normal? You surrender your life to Christ. You begin to study on what the kingdom of God means for you as a man, woman, husband, wife, father, mom, and dad, and you start raising them kids with kingdom. And you come into what is normal for the Word of God to be in your life. I haven't done it perfectly, but I'm trying to learn still. Amen? And where I may have made some mistakes with my kids, I can look at my grandkids. Now, let me tell you something. I don't like to see them get whipped. As a grandfather, I don't. But man, pride swells up in my heart when I see my daughter and my son-in-law whip my grandkids. Because they love them. And they love them too much to let them turn out to be a dread when people see them coming. Now, I ain't saying they still get hit little boogers now. And they deserved everyone they got, just like I did. And I didn't get a lot that I did deserve that I kind of hid. God thought I got away with, but how many know the Father catches you in everything? Amen. I love you guys. Stand to our feet. Next week is going to be a lot shorter. I know these last two have been kind of long, but there's a lot to cover, and I didn't even cover half of it. There's so much more. But next week we'll be probably getting out at a regular time, okay? But thank you for your patience. You guys have been awesome. Amen. Thank you. Come on. Yeah, give yourself a hand for enduring these last 2 weeks, okay? But let's bow our heads. If you're here, and man, I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, you just need to get saved to begin with. You need to come out of the starting gates and say, I just need Jesus, man. I've never surrendered my life. And especially if you're young and you want this type of life, you can't have it outside of Jesus. It's not possible. The world will give you a fake for a while, but it'll all come crashing down. But Jesus will stand the test, and it's still a test even with kingdom, because Satan hates kingdom people, kingdom marriages, and kingdom families. You don't have to be perfect. It's not about being perfect, but it's about surrendering to a perfect God. So if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ into your heart, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus to be his son or daughter, this time is just for you. No strings attached. You won't be joining church today, and you're not joining some religious thing today. You're surrendering your life to become the son and daughter of God. If that's you, throw your hand up real quick. Anybody need Jesus this morning to be your Savior? All right, we got a house full of hopefully saved people then. Would you throw your hand up if you say, Father, I want more of your kingdom in me? And I'm lifting my hands because there's so much more I've got to learn and do and go through. And I need about 5 lifetimes, I feel like. But I know I've got this one, and I want to make every day count. So, Lord, just would you just invade us with the presence of your fullness of your word, the love of Jesus, the discipline, the self-control, the renewing of our minds, God, and the strength to push our pride aside and say, I love this too much not to activate it. I love this too much not just to be a hearer and not a doer of the word. So, Father, I bless every hand and heart that's up, and I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in the fullness of his kingdom word, that you may take this and the Holy Spirit just begin to manifest it even more and more. And if you're here and your kids are grown and you said, man, I really messed up in some areas, just begin to pray that God's grace will cover that. And you begin to live a new life showing your kids a kingdom parent, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, it doesn't matter. It's never too late to walk in the fullness of a word and show it to people, because they're starving for you to be that in their life. So Lord, we just pray over families and marriages. I just pray you put a seal of the Holy Spirit upon them right now, God, that every marriage and every family would be increased after this session today, God. And that we go home and it's, I know we talked a lot about whipping our kids, but Lord, let's also love them in that same passion. and only whip when necessary, because it is necessary. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Thank you for your word today, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Yeah.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.